You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Excuse me. Well, as we turn to the Bible together, I want to share a familiar passage for many of us anyway, but I want to approach it and apply it to our lives kind of with a few specific thoughts this morning. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1 when Jesus is baptized and then compelled by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days. Let's read Mark chapter 1 starting in verse 9 together. It says, "One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, 'You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy.' The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him." I love the baptism story of Jesus. It's an amazing passage. And like I said, it might be familiar for some of us, but as we finish the year together and look forward to 2024, I want to talk about a few specific things that seemed important for Jesus in this moment and I think are going to be important for us as well. Of course, it's a beautiful passage. It starts with God kind of audibly sharing his love and his favor and his delight in his dearly loved Jesus. I like to think, as we've been working through kind of our definition of joy, right? That experience and that feeling you get when you see the sparkle in someone's eye who is excited and delighted to see you. This is God's joyful moment as he shares and speaks over Jesus, the same kind of delightful joy that he would share with us. And right after the baptism, it says Jesus was compelled by the Spirit to go into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days. In the Gospel of Matthew, it adds that he was fasting. And at the end, he was very hungry. Imagine that. And of course, right here in the Gospel of Mark, it says that he was living amongst the wild animals. This was not an easy time for Jesus. And I want to think this morning a little bit less about what that time was like and a little bit more about the preparation beforehand. I mean, have you ever thought, how did Jesus prepare for these 40 days? How did he make it through this season? Because after the desert, Jesus came out proclaiming and demonstrating the kingdom of God. His ministry was thrown into full force. And so obviously, during this time in the desert, he also got some marching orders. He knew what he was supposed to be about. So how did all of this happen? And I understand it helps when you're the perfect Lamb of God and the Spirit of God descends on you like a dove and you have angels ministering to you in the desert. I realize those are some really unique things that probably we've never quite experienced. But Jesus is the example that we're aiming for. We're hoping to become more and more like him. And so just think about this rhetorical question. I mean, do you really think that Jesus learned how to pray? And do you really think Jesus learned how to walk with God while he was in the desert being tempted by Satan? While he was fasting? While he was living amongst the wild animals? Of course not. We know from Scripture that from an early age, Jesus had a unique and was demonstrating a unique relationship with his Father. He was found in the temple teaching the Pharisees. He was going to worship. He was participating in all of the Jewish holidays. He had an ongoing and vibrant walk with his Father. And what I want to propose to you is that Jesus already had a solid rhythm and ongoing or kind of cyclical nature to his relationship and connection with God. That's what prepared him for moments like this. He had developed spiritual disciplines and even a repetitious life with God from an early age that built and established a foundation in his life, allowing him to make it through the more difficult seasons that he was about to embark on, particularly the desert. He walked out unscathed by sin, still maintaining a perfect relationship and holiness before God. You know, as a boy, Jesus would have memorized scripture. He would have memorized prayers. He would have prayed at the temple. He would have gathered consistently for worship and participated in the Jewish festivals. He had this cyclical and ongoing life with God. And I want you to know that something happens. Something happens through repetition and regular rhythms with God. In Hebrew culture, they often think about time in a cyclical manner, a lot like a circle. You could imagine time coming around and around and around again. This is, of course, displayed in creation because we have seasons that we move through and they keep coming again and again. Our calendars get turned over every year. We have repetitive holidays. It's also displayed in scripture. I mean, think about the Old Testament. And let me know if this sounds like a familiar kind of experience that the people of God had. God pours out his favor and blesses his people. Then they forget about God and they rebel and they walk away. And then they begin to experience the consequence of walking away from God. That in that pain, then they cry out to God and they ask for him to save them. And they repent in sackcloth and ashes. And then God, out of his goodness and his loving kindness, comes to rescue them and pour out his blessing on them and heal them again. And on and on and on, that story goes over and over and over again. They happened to believe that this cyclical nature was part of how humans worked. This is how Hebrew culture tends to think about time. Now, we're different in our day and age. Western thought, it's much more linear. Right? I was born and then I grew up and then I hit puberty and I started to mature and I get older and I have kids myself. I get older again and then I die. And then I start a linear line and linear path with God in heaven forevermore, right? We continue to think about time from point A to point B. And this isn't wrong. Obviously, there's truth to thinking about time in both of these ways. But what I want to propose to you this morning is that our spiritual transformation, the transformation of our souls, it happens much more like a Hebrew would think about it than a Western worldview or Western mind would think about it. We are transformed through rhythms and repetitions and cycles of times and seasons. See, rhythms unlock transformation. Rhythms unlock transformation. If you exercise, you know this to be true. You don't start by running a marathon. You run a couple miles. You run a couple miles again, and you do it over and over and over again, slowly adding. If you lift weights, it's all about sets and reps. I mean, there's really not a lot that changes. You might switch it up here and there, add a little bit of weight, or include a new exercise, but it's the same sets and reps over and over and over again that slowly builds muscle and slowly builds strength. The kingdom of God and our own transformation is very similar. We do similar things over and over and over again, in season and out of season. We repeat these spiritual disciplines, and through those disciplines, God transforms our heart in deeper and deeper ways. I mean, just think about this applied to how you read scripture. This happens to us when we read scripture all of the time. You can read the same book of the Bible every single year, and yes, you'll read passages that you're like, oh, I remember reading that. I've read that many times before. And then you'll read passages that you know you've read, but they're hitting you like brand new for the very first time. Why does it happen that way? Well, of course, God's moving in your heart, and over the years, you've experienced more transformation. You begin to approach the Word of God in a new kind of way, and he highlights different things at different times, but that doesn't happen without ongoing seasons and a cyclical nature of you returning to the Word of God. He grows and he transforms your heart over time. Part of the reason Jesus made it through the desert temptations and the loneliness of living in the wilderness by himself was because he had a history with God. He had a history with God that was repetitive and cyclical and built on certain rhythms in his life that he played out over a long period of time. As you and I approach the new year then, it's a good time to think about our own rhythms, collectively and individually. And this morning, I want to invite you into two specific rhythms for 2024. The first rhythm that I want to invite you to is something that we do all the time. This is going to really shock you, but in this room right here, as I look to my right and left and right behind me, I realize we gather here every single Sunday. 52 Sundays a year, we gather in this place And that could be part of your, or 51, I guess, because this is recorded and it's all at home for you, right? But 52 Sundays a year, we gather in this specific place. And part of your transformation will happen in church. It's not the only place that transformation happens. We'll talk about individual rhythms and cyclical patterns in a minute. But our spiritual lives, they do have a repetitive nature to them. And once a week, like a circle, like the cyclical nature of time, we share space together, seeking God and seeking transformation with one another. And I know it's a little ironic to say this as we're worshiping at home together, but some of us have probably gotten a little too comfortable with kind of the church at home reality, right? Like we love the PJs, we love the warm coffee, we love the worship at home. And I just want to share with you, just from deep love in my heart, but also a really strong conviction, there are things that happen in the room that as hard as we try, we cannot replicate for you at home. It doesn't mean that we're not going to give it a solid try. We're going to do and create the best online experience that we can. We have lyrics on the screen. We have multiple camera angles. We want it to sound amazing, and we'll continue to provide that experience for folks. But something happens uniquely and spiritually when you develop an ongoing and cyclical rhythm of encountering God with his people. It's spiritual in nature, and so sometimes it's kind of hard to communicate, but something happens when you look each other in the eye. Something happens when you sing together and you take communion together and you pray together in shared space. Something happens when you experience the salvations that happen on almost every Sunday and we celebrate together. This is cyclical, and for some it can feel repetitive, but it's also transformational. And I think sometimes we fear being kind of too religious, and so we're afraid to tell people that church is really good for them, but it is. Church is actually really good for your life with God, and it's really good for your life with godly people. And so we want to invite you to share space with one another in 2024 to make that part of your cyclical rhythms. These community-oriented rhythms are really, really important for you. But a personal and a individual ongoing rhythm is also really important for us. And so, again, I want to invite you to something that we do every single January as a church. It's called Holy Hustle, and I would love for you to sign up. You can go to votrweekly.org to sign up. You can join others in the church as we read all four Gospels together in January, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That'll be about 2 to 3 chapters a day, but it's a fantastic way to start the year together, reading all the Gospels and starting the year off right. We have community chats that you can be a part of. We'll invite you to pray, maybe even fast a little bit. And every year, we also pick a book that we're inviting the entire community to read together. This year's book is titled Miracle Work, and it's by Jordan Tseng. Miracle Work by Jordan Tseng will be a great way to start the year off together. Now, it's not a perfect book. No book is a perfect book. But this book will provoke you to dream about the supernatural activity of God in and around your life. Jordan's a vineyard pastor from Honolulu in Hawaii, and his book will challenge you to begin expecting the power and the movement of God to show up in your everyday life. You know, our mission statement, which I happen to love, it's in our lobby, right? It's joining God's mission, transforming all things. It's a mission statement that we deeply love and cherish, but Jordan Tseng's church's mission statement I love as well. It's just one word. It's the word try. Try. It's that simple. Try to pray for the sick. Try to hear from God. Try to serve the poor. Try to experience the supernatural activity of God. You won't be disappointed if you just try. And that's their church's mission statement, and you'll be able to experience that as you read this book and begin trying on some kingdom activity. So sign up for Holy Hustle. This will build some personal and spiritual repetition and rhythms in your life that won't disappoint. They'll develop a spiritual strength for you that will set you up for success in times of trials and challenges. And I love that every January, a large portion of our church does this together. You know, as I come kind of to a close here in our time this morning, prepare to reflect and respond together, I want you to think again about your life with God and think specifically like a Hebrew for a moment, more cyclical in your relationship with God and less linear. If you're like me, the time between Christmas and New Year's is kind of a blur. It's just a haze, right? I'm just living in a fog. I don't know what time it is. Sometimes I don't even know what day it is. And the fact that my kids aren't going to school doesn't have like an anchor in my schedule that I can count on. So I'm just kind of lost between these two holidays. But these in-between stages, they allow us to kind of let go a few of our kind of daily rhythms and allow us to envision who we really are aiming to be, what we want our life with God to actually look like, and maybe to lay hold of some promises that he wants to speak to us about in 2024. As we prepare to reflect and respond, then think to yourself about what kind of rhythms you want to build and establish with God. What do you want to repeat in a cyclical way, day after day, week after week, year after year? During this time of reflect and respond, I trust that God will speak to you. So let's pray and prepare our hearts for that time of reflection.